The Pentagon says it has formed a Persian Gulf action team to investigate if there is a connection between ailments in over 50,000 veterans of the Gulf War and possible exposure to chemical weapons. Last June, the Pentagon acknowledged for the first time that 400 U.S. soldiers were likely exposed to nerve and mustard gas when an Iraqi bunker and weapons pit full of rockets were destroyed in March of 1991 by a U.S. engineering unit. Yesterday, the Defense Department said the number of exposed U.S. soldiers may reach beyond 15,000. NPR's Martha Raddatz, who's covering the developments at the Pentagon, joins us now, as well as science correspondent Richard Harris, who's been covering the health issues involved in this. Let's start with Martha. Lots of investigations. The Persian Gulf Action Team, is that going to be a different thing?
Well, I'm not sure it really is going to be different. It's one of many, many investigating this syndrome. Its distinction, as far as I can tell thus far, seems to be that it is the most recently appointed. The Pentagon clearly wants to look like it's on top of this investigation, which is kind of hard to do at this point since the facts seem to change really week by week.
We have been hearing for many years about what's come to be known as Gulf War Syndrome, soldiers complaining about a whole constellation of symptoms, birth defects. Throughout this period, the Pentagon denies that the soldiers had been exposed to chemical weapons, and then in June, as we mentioned, the Pentagon says it looks like indeed there was some exposure. If you're a veteran, it's hard to trust the Pentagon here.
I think so, and this is very problematic for the Pentagon. After saying there's no evidence for years and years, as you said, in June, it comes out that the 400 soldiers possibly may have been unknowingly exposed to a poison gas while they were blowing up one of Saddam Hussein's weapons bunkers. This was in an area called Camisea, and later a weapons pit. That was in June. Last week, the number grew to 5,000, and now the Pentagon is saying it may be over 15,000, and some estimates I'm hearing go much, much higher than that. The Pentagon hopes to have a better idea next week when the findings from a CIA computer model are expected to be complete. What that model does is estimates the amount of gas, how it would burn off, and most important, how many troops were anywhere near this cloud of gas.
Richard Harris, what is the expert's view of the possible relationship between the chemical weapons exposure, that gas in the air, and the Gulf War syndrome ailments?
Well, until these latest revelations, I think the consensus among scientists from the National Institutes of Health and the National Academy of Sciences and an independent presidential commission was that the Gulf War syndrome was in some ways a misnomer. Clearly, people from who served in the Gulf got sick, and there are clearly illnesses among Gulf War veterans, but whether they all deserve to be rolled together into a syndrome with a common cause has been looked at and by and large discarded by the scientific community. I think these recent revelations about chemical warfare agents now raise the question, well, maybe we overlook something, and maybe, just maybe, there could be some sort of common thread that may explain certainly not everyone's illnesses, but maybe a subset of these illnesses.
Yeah, the logic would seem to be on the side of the veteran here, if indeed there was chemical weapon exposure and the people are getting sick, you would have to look at that right away.
You would. There are a lot of leaps of logic, however, that have to be jumped over in order to make the case. For one thing, at the time of these explosions, these are really nasty, potentially deadly agents, and no one reported getting sick, and there were certainly no deaths from this at the time. So there appears not to have been any acute exposures to these chemical weapons. The Pentagon is going back, and one of the things they're doing now is they're trying to see whether they missed some reports of those ailments that weren't previously noted. But that's a real possibility. Again, the real problem is that no one has ever seen chronic problems from chemical warfare agents in the absence of these acute effects. So far, it doesn't add up.
Right. Martha, the Pentagon says basically the same thing. There is no identifiable link between the syndrome and the weapons.
That's exactly right. It interests me what Richard says about scientists looking at this, and I think that's one of the things that has happened here. Scientists have been studying this, and they found no evidence. The Pentagon now wants to go beyond that, however. A senior defense official today said, never say never about this. We just don't know the answers to this, and again, they hope to find more answers with the CIA model. Also, the Pentagon has asked the Army Inspector General to investigate why an intelligence report This was released in the fall of 1991, warning that Kamisiyah may have been an area where chemical weapons were kept was not considered significant until years later. So this spreads way beyond the connection. They also want to know what went wrong and why they didn't find out as much as they now know back then.
Sure. And a new development here, the Pentagon is confirming today it's planning to vaccinate all troops against anthrax, which can also be used in biological warfare, and that indeed is a deadly agent.
Indeed it is. This has been something military commanders were not really keen on in the beginning, but they've now agreed that it is necessary given the threat out there.
What about this, Richard? During the Gulf War, there have been reports that 150,000 troops got some vaccination against a possible toxic gas exposure, and now there's speculation that the Gulf War syndrome could be a side effect of the vaccination itself.
Yeah, there are a couple of agents that were used, including the anthrax vaccine. However, the anthrax vaccine was looked at and was deemed highly unlikely that that might be a cause. It's been licensed since 1970 and used reasonably widely, and you'd expect that if there were some side effects, they would have shown up by now.
Thanks to both of you, NPR's Richard Harris and Martha Raddatz.